last chapter in Ephesians. And I'll read verses 10 through 14 only. Revisiting this wonderful instruction. Put on the full armor of God. Talk some more about that today. This is God's Word. And just hearing the Word alone, just hearing the name Jesus Christ alone can save a soul from dying and spending eternity in hell. But hearing His Word, listening to His Word, believing His Word is just a remarkable thing that's only done by the grace of God. Since we have the grace of God, let's hear it. From Ephesians chapter 6, beginning verse 10. Dear people of God, hear your God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. May the Lord bless this portion of His Word to our hearts and to our minds. Once again, Lord Jesus, we are thankful for Your Word. Your Word is truth. And may it sink well into our hearts, into our minds, changing us, molding and shaping us into Your image more and more. For it's in Your name only we offer this prayer. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as some of you know, I've already talked about the truth comes first. And verse 14 here, where it says, having your loins girt about with truth, it's, the images of a belt that tightens the whole, that brings the uniform together and to which other things are attached. The belt is loose, they're going to fly around. So the belt has to be tightened, and that's what that is. And the way you tighten the belt in this metaphor is to take on the truth, to tighten up your lives, to tighten your minds, to get your arms around the truth and forget about the opinions and the many voices in this world that are leading you astray and giving you all these different options to believe, which are useless and senseless from a spiritual point of view. From an earthly point of view, they may get you by for a day, two, a year, or whatever, maybe even a lifetime in this world. But eternally, they are worthless. And many of them are less than worthless. And that's the political views you hear today, the education views, the psychological views, even some of the science, which is not science, really. But masquerades as science. Are worthless and nonsense and waste of your time. But this is not. And so the truth that is spoken about here is obviously Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, right? The truth is the Word of God, and the truth is only received by God's children, only by the elect. They're the only ones that can truly receive it. Intellectually, some people can, but they can never run with it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is righteousness, okay? You have the truth. Well, next is righteousness. And that ought to be next. And there's a reason why it ought to be next. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the breastplate. And then I want to talk about, in the second place, righteousness, the righteousness from three points of view. And then I want to speak on standing, right? He says here that we are to stand, after we've done all. Putting on the whole armor of God, we are to stand. And that, of course, is by putting on the breastplate of righteousness, we stand. And then finally, just sort of following up on that to stand is to put on Christ. So we have that, those four points before us now. And we can, I don't want to rush through them, but we can get through them quickly as we proceed here. First, the breastplate. Now, I think many of the children have been taught in Sunday school with pictures of soldiers and the various accoutrements that the soldier wears, the equipment that he wears. And one of the things that the soldier puts on is a breastplate. And the Roman soldier, of course, put on a metal breastplate. Why did he do that? To protect his vitals, mainly his heart and his lungs, from being pierced. As you know, you guys and gals that hunt, if that's one of the things you aim at with an arrow, right, is the vital for the deer. Hit her in the heart or in the lungs, and they collapse. And that's what would happen with a human, too. If you stab or put a spear through his heart or his lung, he would collapse. And so one of the things the soldiers put on to protect the vital, especially the heart, but also the lungs, and other organs as well, was to protect it, you know, to deflect that spear or that sword from hitting a vital. Didn't mean they couldn't hit under the arm or something else, but the vital organ would be protected. Well, that's what God is getting at here through the Apostle Paul in this metaphor he uses to putting on the whole armor of God is to protect your vitals. You see, what's happened when you have become... God has revealed that you're an elect child, his chosen son or daughter, that you have the truth has entered into your heart, right, and into your life, and it's a wonderful new thing. Your heart and your mind have been changed and being changed more and more into the image and glory of God. Your will has changed, been renewed. Your conscience has been instructed now. It's informed by the Word of God. Things are happening in your life. Changes are taking place that are amazing. And I remember when I became saved, how excited I was and how I would witness even to a tree. Just to practice, because it was just so marvelous. Well, Paul is telling us here, well, wait a minute now, calm down a little bit. I know you're excited. You have the truth. That's the first thing you need is the truth to save your life. But you need to protect your heart. You need to protect yourself, your heart, and your mind, so to speak. You need to protect your conscience, your will, your emotion, bowels of mercy, as the description in the King James says, your emotions. You need to protect that. And the way to protect your vitals, once the truth has entered into your life and you have this new life, you're alive now in Christ, the way to protect it is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That is protection. You must protect yourself. Or if you take that off or you don't have it on, the devil, through this world, through friends, so-called, through family members that have a reprobate mind, through others, they shoot that arrow, and what are they aiming at? Right at the heart. Why? Because if they hit the heart, you collapse. It's like that deer. You will collapse. So you need that breastplate of righteousness to put on. Let's go on and talk about the righteousness from three points of view. You need to keep in mind three things about the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, in order to understand it well and to protect yourself from the darts, the arrows, the sword, the spear of the enemy, so you don't collapse. Now, the first point is that this is... Just back up just a minute, where Paul says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. What did he say? Put on the whole armor of man. No. put on the whole armor of faith. No. Put on the whole armor of God. This is God's armor. This is not our armor. If it's our armor, then it's made out of paper mache. The arrows, the spears, the swords are going to pierce it easily and bring you down. And that's the problem with a lot of people today in churches. They put on, they think it's their armor. They own it. It's their faith. It's their works. It's their righteousness. You see what we're getting at? You see where we're coming to? We're coming to, finally, in verse 14, stand therefore, having put your girt your loins with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness? It's the whole armor of God. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It's certainly not your righteousness, because what does the Bible say about you? In one of their mankind's heart before the fall, or before the great flood, and after the flood, said the same thing, that man imagines only evil and wickedness all day long. That's all he thinks of in God's sight. That's not according to your opinion or mine. We think we're wonderful. We think we're thinking well or right or good or proper. But in God's sight, man's imagination, his thoughts of his heart are only evil continually. Before the flood, and even after the flood, speaking about the eight that came out of the ark, they as well think only evil continually without the grace of God. The prophet Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who could know it? The Apostle Paul, quoting the psalmist, says that there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one boy, not one girl, no matter how young, no matter how old, not one man, not one woman is righteous before God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. All are despicable in his sight. Even your works of righteousness, says the prophet Isaiah, all your works of righteousness are as filthy rags in my sight. And he had a certain kind of rag in view. I'm not going to mention. You can tell your kids at home if you want. Stinking. Sick. Ugly. That's what man is. So it's not your righteousness that you're to put on. It's certainly not your filthy works of righteousness that you're to put on. It's certainly not your best attire that you ought to put on and make yourself look all pretty and wonderful. Outwardly, maybe, but inwardly, dead men's bones rotten. That's the way it is. That's the description. I'm just giving you just a little snapshot of what the scripture says about man. It's wicked. The psalmist says, I was conceived, you know, as a zygote in my mother's womb, as a zygote. Conceived and born in sin. No hope. So the righteousness is the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness of God. See, and before God's righteousness, we all turn, we all flee. The thrice holy God the angels sing about, and it is so brilliant and so bright, we cannot, it's blinding, we cannot look upon God without being consumed. He's so holy and righteous. And so, that's the first thing we need to emphasize here, need to keep in our mind, that it's the whole armor of who? Man? No, God. And so each part that we place or put on is his armor that he provides to us by faith. We put it on by faith, yes, through faith. but it's his almond. And so it's his righteousness. It's now, speaking of his righteousness, there are two aspects to that righteousness. There is the aspect of imputation, imputed righteousness, legal, forensic righteousness, and there is obedience. There's righteousness out of, you know, out of gratitude for so great a salvation as has been given to us in Jesus Christ. We express it through obedience. So there's sanctified righteousness, there's infused or imparted righteousness. So there's this two aspects, and we don't want to divorce. It's a package deal, right? If you're saved, if you're given the truth, it enters in you, you're a child of God, then the package deal is that you are justified by Jesus Christ. His righteousness becomes your righteousness. And you're also sanctified by Jesus, by his Spirit. His Spirit living in you, abiding in you, infuses you with righteousness expressed through obedience to the commands of God. Those are two different things. We need to understand that when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we either know it's God's righteousness from which man will flee come the day of judgment, and it is the imputed righteousness of Christ, which is forensic. In other words, God says, Peter, you have sinned all your life long, and to this day, in fact, in this worship service, you're sinning in your thought. You may not even know the sin you're committing, but you are a sinner through and through. And as many days as I give you life on this planet, you're going to be sinning. Some days it's going to be more, some days less, but throughout the day you're sinning. But I have taken those sins, which one deserves hell, certainly separation from me forever. But you have sinned so many times, you can't even remember, you can't even count them. But I'm going to take all your sins and I'm going to place them on my son, and then I'm going to punish my son instead of you. I'm going to punish him on the cross. He's going to shed his blood to save you. And his righteousness, because he didn't commit a single sin for which to be punished. But I'm going to take his perfect life and his perfect righteousness before me, and I'm going to place that on you. And so that when I see you, I see the righteous robe of Christ wrapped around you. Seamless righteousness. Perfect. Without a flaw, without a fault. That's double imputation, right? Christ's righteousness imputed to me, my guilt, my sin and my guilt imputed to him. He took the punishment, I take the life, the blessing. That's justification. Sanctification says, Christ says to his own, I and the Father are going to abide in you. We're going to reside in you. I'm giving you my Spirit. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you my Spirit to live with you. And that Spirit, my Spirit, which raised me from death, is going to raise you to newness of life in acting it out. In obeying. It's not because you're working to get your salvation or your right. You're already perfectly righteous in my sight through justifying grace. Now, you're going to act like you're right. Like James said, right? James said, you say you're justified. Remember I talked about that? Paul says you're justified by faith alone without any works that you have done. You're justified by faith in Christ Jesus alone. James says, wait a minute. You say you're justified. Prove it. Show your justification by your works. That's what James is saying. And so that's what is being said here in a slightly different way. Because putting on the breastplate of righteousness, you are justified, you are saved already, you are blessed forever and ever, you're going to heaven, there's nothing that can stop it, but now you need to show it. You need to show that you are sanctified, that you are saved by expressing yourself in obedience love, acts of love and gratitude and mercy, obeying His word. And so that's what's going on. Those three things you need to keep in mind when you put on the breastplate. You don't want to separate them. They're all there. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. It's God's righteousness, not our own. So that does away with a works gospel. And then it's the imputed righteousness of Christ, seamless righteousness, perfect righteousness imputed to us. Not guilty, Peter, not guilty. And then you express yourself in acts of obedience to Jesus Christ. Now, there's and this, of course, is in the scripture. The Bible says the Lord is our righteousness. Martin Luther discovered this, and he was saved as a result of understanding that the righteousness is not his own, but is Christ's righteousness, justifying grace and all that. And then he just was liberated to act in grateful expression and thanksgiving to God. And he did so. And so now we come to, having understood this and putting on this breastplate of righteousness, now comes the important point that I think is important for us to get. And that is, it's the first word in verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, I told you, if you put on your own righteousness or someone else's righteousness other than Christ, you're going to expose your vitals. And the devil, the world, the system, whatever, is going to come out and is going to hit you, and they aim at your heart. The aim is for your heart, and it's going to hit. Have good aim. And you're going to collapse into the dust unless you have put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, let's just talk from a practical point of view for a moment before we conclude here. Paul is in prison writing this letter to the Romans, to the Ephesians, and he's in prison. Well, I don't know if you have ever doubted, but I know how I have, and I know of people who have doubted. And what happens is that when things go wrong in your life, you begin to think, wait a minute, maybe I have done wrong. Maybe God is angry with me. Maybe this is happening because God is punishing me or dealing with me in a strong way. Paul, you're in prison. Do you remember what you even admitted? That you were a blasphemer and an injurious person. Do you remember that you consented as they laid the garments in front of you to kill Stephen, martyr Stephen? Do you remember Stephen's sermon and how they got riled up by it and they took him out and they killed him, they put him to death, and you consented to all that? Paul, do you remember that you were dragging Christians to be before the council to be put to death or imprisoned or whatever? Do you remember all that, Paul? Well, I'm here to remind you that maybe you're in prison and maybe you're having a hard day, a hard way because of your evil deeds and your evil works. Maybe God is angry with you. See, that's your own righteousness speaking. That's the devil speaking to your own sense of righteousness. No, God is not punishing me. God loves me, and God has forgiven me all my sins. Whatever I've done, God has forgiven me. This is not why I've been placed in prison. I have not broken His law. All the laws of man, for that matter, because the law of God says obey. And I've obeyed. I have not broken His law. I've not broken the law. I know I have sense. God has given me sense. And so, get thee behind me, Satan. You have not in mind the things of God. the righteousness of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ says, get thee behind me. Those kind of thoughts and that kind of thinking and bringing up and drudging up my sin and throwing it in my face and at me when I know that I have done nothing wrong in God's sight. See, that's the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, which you and I need to learn better to put on each and every day. God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness. Let's think of another situation. There's plenty, you can think of plenty more. Let's think of righteous Job. What was said of Job? Job was the righteous person in the world. He was upright and a perfect man before me, said God. And you know what I'm going to do to him, or allow the devil to do to him? He has 10 children. He's prospered in his family. He's prospered in his life, his agrarian lifestyle. He has men working for him. His family is all satisfied. Everything's going for him. I'm going to allow you to take away his wealth. So God took away all his wealth through the devil. But God allowed it. So God took it away. I'm going to go further. I'm going to send the Sabaeans and Chaldeans down upon them, and a great wind as well, and it's going to wipe out not only his wealth, his whole family. I'm going to take away his family from him. To add insult to injury, I'm going to do further. I'm going to take away his health. He was a healthy man. He was a good worker. I'm going to take that away. Take away his wealth, his health, his family, and then to add the topping, I'm going to tell his wife, I'm going to have his wife tell him, look, Job, curse God and die. I mean, just curse the Lord, curse the day you were born, curse God and die. What did Job do? Righteous Job. Not only did he love God, he loved his wife. He didn't divorce his wife. He didn't despise her. He corrected her. He said that what are we supposed to do? Only take what is good from God and not what is evil? God is the one who gives, and God is the one who takes away. You see, what you need to remember about the righteousness of God, cannot be unrighteous. God cannot do evil. God cannot do that which is wrong. God can only do righteous. He is the Lord of righteousness. He is our righteousness. He can only do. So, when you prosper, and he takes away your prosperity, when you're healthy and he takes away your health, when you have family members and he takes away those family members, you may be unrighteous if you did that, but God is never unrighteous when he does it. Remember the tapestry illustration I said. You look at the bottom of the tapestry and it's all full of knots and colors are going every which way, and it doesn't make any sense. My life doesn't make any sense, Lord. What's going on in my life? You know, there are young people these days that just have nonsense and no sense at all and think their life is so, oh, it's ending. It's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm going to cut myself. I'm going to take pills. I'm going to do something wrong to my life because it's in despair. God doesn't do wrong. You look at the top of the tapestry and you see this beautiful picture of your life that God is going to hang up in his room, looking at you and your life in beauty with all its different dark threads, light threads, all come together. You don't see it, brothers and sisters, but you need to believe it. God is righteous whatever happens. You need to put on that breastplate of righteousness and live like it's true, because it is. God is righteous if he gives you something, and God is righteous if he takes it away. Praise be, blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know what Job said? After his wife and all that stuff, he in Job 31, he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I might not lust towards this maid, coming on to him or whatever it was, this maid that he had, that I would not lust. I've made a covenant with my eyes before God, I will not lust. Even though my wife wronged me, even though all this stuff happened to me, I will not lust. That's an upright man. Why? Because he put on the righteousness of God. He believed that God was right no matter what happened in his life. Are you like that? Or do you measure God by some earthly standard? Some little piece of material that's in your life or something going wrong. Is that how pathetic you become? No. You're not that way, right, Christian? You put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know that God's righteous. You know you're justified. And you're going to live to the glory of God. Come what may, I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand because I'm not putting on my own righteousness. I'm not putting on someone else's righteousness. I'm not thinking along the devil's track and doubting what's happened in my life and thinking God's punishing me and thinking he's taking things away because he's mad at me or something like that. No, I'm putting on the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, and therefore, if I have that righteousness, come what may, Lord, I know everything is right in my life because you're right. Put on the armor of God, the whole armor of God, put on the righteousness of God, put on Christ, brothers and sisters, and walk through life that way, come what may, and you will find it helps. It helps. But we're not perfect, right? We're weak, and we do falter, but God doesn't. When I am weak, then he is strong. Praise be to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. Keep us strong, strong in you, putting on the righteousness of God, putting on the righteousness of Christ. May we walk in that righteousness. Now that we know the truth, love the truth, believe the truth, live the truth, let us walk in the righteousness of God, believing God is right and upright, and his promises are all yea and amen in Jesus Christ. All the praise goes to thee, O Lord, all the praise to thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 571. 571. And let's rise up to sing this hymn, 571.